Good morning, church. Those pictures you saw there, pictures from all around the world, represent some of the people and places that conversations about Jesus have happened because of the investment of a lot of people in this church. Can we thank God for that? And I see a friend here I hadn't seen in a while, Dr. Bill Lawrence and Lena. Good morning, brother and sister. Glad you are here. We actually have many of our Northwest-supported missionaries this morning with us. First hour, most of them were here, but you're going to get to see them during the week. You'll get to see a bunch of them Wednesday night if you join us on Wednesday night. And this morning, you've seen the graphics, and some of you, it's actually a new thing for you called World Passion Week. And this is the time of year where we talk about not just having conversations around our city with friends of ours, but with people all over the world. It's the time of year that we actually raise the money to do all that we're doing around the world. This particular year, our theme is this, and it's the one thing I want to tell you this morning that we believe God opens doors because God's power turns obstacles into openings. Got that? Can you believe that this morning? Amen. God's power turns obstacles into openings. Thank you, brother. And I want you to know something. I realize that even saying that can sound a little bit almost trite in light of all that's happened in our world. And so what I want to do today is I'm going to take you first to the Word of God, and we're going to see how God's power was turning obstacles into openings for conversations about Jesus from the very start of the church. And because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we're going to see about how it's also happening today. Now, I will tell you, last year when we had our World Passion Week, it was right on the cusp of some doors being closed. The week, in the middle of our World Passion Week, was when shutdown happened because of COVID. And the Sunday before, y'all, we had our greatest single Sunday of commitment to missions we've ever had at Northwest Bible Church in four decades. One Sunday, our church committed $1.1 million. Do you want to thank God for that? Is that amazing? And to top it off, even in the midst of COVID, we actually had our largest ever commitment to our faith promise. That's what we call this, $1.8 million. Is that pretty amazing, y'all? But I want to tell you something that is the proof in the pudding. That money has been coming in right on time because God has been working through the faithful, generous giving of this body. And I am thanking God today for all of this. And it actually helps me to be able to come to you today and say, God opens doors because God's power turns obstacles into openings. So I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Acts 16. I actually love this particular chapter in the book of Acts, and I'm so glad that we get to go there today. Now, you heard a bunch of little snippets from Acts read, and I'll just remind us, since we're jumping in this for one Sunday, that last Sunday we celebrated, He is risen. Good job, y'all. Because you know what? Every Sunday, we are preaching about the risen Jesus, right? And that it is our message every day of our lives that Christ lived. He died on a cross for sins. There's salvation in no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. And it says in the scriptures, the church went out preaching Jesus risen from the dead. Christ is risen. Amen. And so, in the book of Acts, immediately when Jesus gets ready to go back to his Father, the last thing he says is, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. and you are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth, church. And what you hear in the book of Acts is how, in spite of obstacles, in spite of closed doors, the church is growing and growing, and God is doing things. And this guy named Paul, who was Saul, had a conversion. He starts taking the gospel out. And there's a man named Luke who wrote a gospel. Acts is part two of that gospel. As he says, here's how the church grew. And we're jumping into Acts 16, verse 5, where we're in the middle of Paul's missionary journeys. And Luke says, listen, guys, the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. God's power at work. And then it says something interesting, and this is what I wanted to jump into today. They passed, speaking of Paul and company, they passed through Phrygia and the Galatian region. Now watch this. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. So here's what happens. Paul himself bumps into some closed doors, some locked doors. But it did not mean that they were going to stop having conversations about Jesus. You know what else? It says they weren't allowed to go to Asia. It didn't mean the gospel would not go to Asia. It didn't mean that God's plans were thwarted. And as you talk and hear the stories from our missionaries, you're going to hear that this year they too had some closed doors. They had a stay-at-home order that borders were closed. There was a lockdown. Some places in the world, transportation completely stopped. And I had a friend that had told me that last year, when he was here this particular Sunday, hearing about World Passion Week and the call to give, he told me this. He said, Neil, God's Spirit did something on me. And I went home and I changed my faith promise giving. I don't know how much he gave. I don't know if his first one was $1 and he upped it to $2. But he said, I went home and I upped it significantly. We're having this conversation this December. And he said, I have a question. And it was a really great question. And I thought, I bet a lot of people have this question. And his question was this: what happened to the money? In light of the doors that were closed, in light of what was happening, what happened to the money? I said, that is a great question, and I better make sure and answer that this Sunday. And so we're going to answer that question this Sunday as I encourage us that God opens doors because God's power turns obstacles into openings. You know what's interesting about the Spirit stopping the Apostle Paul? We're not actually told exactly how he did it. How do you think he did it? I don't know. Maybe he just gave Paul an invisible bear hug and turned him around and said, go in the other direction. We don't know. Maybe there was a pandemic. I don't know. But watch what happens in verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And the rest of Acts 16 is really, I believe, telling you about the planting of a church. The rest of Acts 16 is what you get is a little peek through a keyhole. And I want to tell you who the key is here. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Where the Holy Spirit of God now moves in Paul, does the unlock the door of Macedonia and opens up a place, and you're going to see three different people, different religious backgrounds, different races, different status in society, different levels of interest in God, three different people who actually get in touch with the power of God to turn obstacles into openings. You want to see it? Let's look at it. So we're going to jump into the story here in verse 12. It says, Paul says, from Troas we went to Philippi. Anybody recognize the name of that place? Which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. He's looking for some conversations about Jesus. We sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled, and a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. Now, I want to look through the keyhole, in a sense, at Lydia. And I want to make a couple observations about Lydia just from the text we have. She was a seller of purple fabrics, which we can assume she had a very wealthy clientele. This is a businesswoman who is doing well. She is an influential family member. We'll read later in the text. She's got a family. She has some say-so in her household. Lydia is most probably Asian. Did the gospel go to Asia? Lydia is what we call a God-fearing Gentile at the time. She doesn't know Jesus per se, but she's got some interest in God. And I want to not just look back through that keyhole, but I wonder when we go out there seeking to have conversations about Jesus, if we can't see a Lydia. Lydia would be like a businesswoman here in town who is just crushing it in the marketplace. Maybe a business owner. She drives a nice car. Lydia, it maybe is the kind of person, she attends a lot of fundraisers because she wants to be a part of something important and she wants to give her life to something and she has some questions. And because God's power turns obstacles into openings, watch what happens. It says in verse 14 that the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. I want to ask you a question, pop quiz. Who opened Lydia's heart? The Lord. Can I remind us, church, just knowing that we all love going out and having conversations about Jesus, amen, and that we're going to do that, amen? Okay, good. So, as you go out, I want to relieve you of some pressure that this keyhole, if we think of it not just representing doors that God is opening up all over the world, but also people's hearts, and that we know that every single person here that has said, I've placed my faith in Jesus, is because the Holy Spirit has placed his key in your heart and has opened your eyes, that has called you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, that has done something for you you could not do for yourself. Amen? And so we just get to go out and have conversations about Jesus, and we don't have to make anything happen in somebody else's heart. Now, that's an aside. Let's go back to the story. It says in verse 15, after Lydia was baptized, and her household as well. So a lot happens between those two verses, right? Lydia comes to know Jesus. And I love this next thing that is said, because you think about the Apostle Paul, who was afraid of no one. Here's a guy who gets stoned. Here's a guy who says, I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do no matter what. And now he comes in to contact with Lydia, this woman who is making things happen. And it says, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Lydia says, Paul, you're coming to my house. And Paul says, yes, ma'am. And God opens the door for the missions work of Paul, for conversations about Jesus, because church, can we agree that wealthy business owners, CEOs, and white-collar workers need Jesus? Amen. The story continues, verse 16. It says, as we were going to the place of prayer, here's Paul out and about again looking to have conversations about Jesus, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. And she follows Paul around, and apparently she's just doing this, wearing him out, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." Now, I want to make some observations as we just look through the keyhole, a slave girl. This gal was probably Greek. Maybe she is oppressed, mentally disturbed, a psychic. Notice she is a slave gal, so she's got some greedy owners who are doing this, using her for what they can get. Does that sound familiar? Using her for what they can get. And, you know, Lydia seems interested in things of God. The way the text describes it, this slave gal, when we peek through here, she seems maybe a little antagonistic, the demon in her. And if I look out there to this city, it's not hard for me to see people like this slave gal. In a city like Dallas, where there's a booming sex trafficking industry, right? People being used for the good of others. I think about the thousands of homeless high school students in Dallas. Did you know that? These are kids who don't have a permanent residence, who stay in motels or they're couch surfing, and maybe when they're going to school, they got a chip on their shoulder and there are people looking to see if they can take advantage of them. You know, we know this just from our Northwest Community Center in Vickery, that's just 3 miles. Actually, not that way, that way. Getting confused here. Peyton, you got to help me with my directions, okay? If you haven't been there to take the 3-mile trip to the world, I want to encourage you to do that. But we've talked about how these refugees going back and forth to school, there are people driving around in their cars trying to befriend them to use them for their purposes. And because God's power turns obstacles into openings, watch what happens next in the story. It says in verse 18, she kept doing this for many days, right? These men, they're coming in the name of the Most High God, proclaiming to you the way of salvation. And the next thing that's said is, here's what I wanted to say next. And Paul, being the compassionate man that he was on this gal, it says, Paul, having become greatly annoyed. But watch what he's annoyed about and who he is annoyed at. He turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour, because God's power turns obstacles into openings. And because Jesus is coming for all kinds of people, wealthy CEOs who are crushing it, and women who are being crushed. And the story continues in verse 19, that when this little slave gal's owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, they dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers, they beat them with rods, and they handed them over to a Roman jailer. Now, I want to say another little aside here. There's so many things in this passage that's causing me to get off my main idea here, but these are really important things for you to hear, because we're going to go out, church, and have conversations about Jesus all over the world. And sometimes when we go out, and let me speak for me here first. You know, when Northwest Bible Church is going out, raising all kinds of money to have conversations everywhere about Jesus, to make sure everybody knows there's no other name under heaven by which people must be saved, and we go out and we do that and we do good along with that, whether it's water wells in Africa or what we're doing in Northwest Community Center. You know what I expect and I want just to tell you? I want, like, people to see it in our city, and I want them to do this. Man, you all are awesome. We love what you are doing. That's not what Paul got. And it's not what most believers get over history. In fact, any success we have in going out there in the name of Jesus necessarily comes with suffering. And church, I use that word necessarily because that's what Jesus said. That's what the early church experienced. Back to the story here. It says about this suffering that Paul is taken by this Roman jailer, and it says in verse 24, we'll go there, having received this order, the jailer put them into the inner prison, the worst spot. This guy is rough. He fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Okay, I'm going to ask you this. And before you think I'm insensitive, watch our Easter service last week where I shared about my own struggles last June in light of COVID. But I do want to ask us, and I'll start with me, when you're in your jail cell, what are you doing? Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, right? Which in Scripture, over and over again, it's God is showing up in the middle of that. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, immediately all the doors were opened. And if I'm Paul, I'm thinking, there's my open door. Everyone's bonds were unfastened. And when the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, to run himself through, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. There he is. And I want you to see him. As we look through this keyhole, what do we learn from Scripture? Here's what we know about a jailer. He was Roman. He was probably a retired Roman military man, kind of a blue-collar worker guy. This guy we know was a family man. This is a guy who, if he was a good Roman, he was more than likely disinterested in God, what we would call a pagan, okay? And it's not hard to see him out here, right? It's the person we overlook every day who's taking care of some of our basic necessities, the people that maybe we ignore, that we think they're just there to serve us. Hey, church, can I give you some encouragement right now? You say yes, I say thank you. Next time you go to a restaurant and you look at that server who's serving you, remember this. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. See Jesus right there in them, okay? Because God's power turns obstacles into openings. I want you to see what happens with this harsh, mean, middle-class, blue-collar worker disinterested in Jesus. It says in verse 28, Paul cries out with a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself. We are still all here." Wait a minute. I'm telling you, I would have thought that was my door, right? There was my opening right there. God's power turns obstacles into openings. I get to get the heck out of here. Okay, I got to say this. Yesterday, I was riding my bike. First time I did a really big, serious group ride since COVID started. I didn't want to go because I knew they were going to drop me, okay? And I was going to be way out in Sunnyvale all by myself, and it was windy. I got dropped about 20 miles from my house, and there was one guy. And he and I start riding together. You talk about God's power turns obstacles into openings. And for the next hour and a half, you know what he tells me about? How selfish and nasty people in the church are. As he's watched how they've responded to everything that's happened in our world. And I'm sitting there doing damage control with this guy, trying to talk to him about the heart of Jesus. And folks, You know what strikes me is Paul doesn't run. He doesn't say, I've got my freedom. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, however I want to do it, with whatever attitude I want to do it. Paul says, I'm going to stay in that jail cell because I am here for something greater than my personal freedom. I am here for something greater than my own comfort. I am here for the glory of God, to have conversations about Jesus, to take as many people with me as I can. That's what our World Passion Week is all about. And what happens? Look at the text there. The jailer says, what must I do to be saved? How does that happen? I think part of the reason it happens is because that earthquake. Somehow God is in the earthquake. But I also think it's this, that what he smelled, the aroma of Jesus coming from Paul, was the willingness to say, I'm going to stay right here for you, brother, right now. I could run right now, but I'm not going to run. I am here for you. And the guy and his whole household comes to know Jesus. He takes Paul. He bandages up his wounds. He cares for him. He brings him to his house because God's power turns obstacles into openings. Do you believe it, church? Amen. Thank you, young lady or man. Verse 40. They went out of prison and visited who? Lydia, the first lady. White collar workers, a slave, a blue collar worker. It seems like they're together. When they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed them. It sounds like there was a church going on in Lydia's home. And we do know there was a church in Philippi because of Acts 16, because we got a book. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, to the saints in Philippi. Your book, The Philippians, right? Three radically different people, from their race to their status in society to their spiritual condition, their family life, their personalities, because Paul walks through some open doors God provides. And today, church, here's what I'm asking us to do. I'm asking us to walk through the open door that we have had for decades here. I think it's one of the unique reasons that God still has this church on this planet today is because of this thing called our faith promise. Because of the giving and the unique context God has given us all over the world, the unique generosity of this body. But before I ask you for that, I made a promise. We were going to answer the question, what happened to the money? So I want you to see God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, some of what happened to the money this past year. Let's watch.
So Polish serves as a bridge between the church and the workplace, which are often viewed as two different cultures. They have different people groups, different norms, different languages even, sometimes different expectations and different dreams. And so we are an avenue where women can come to a safe space to wrestle with their hard questions of God and faith.
We work in Northern Uganda and South Sudan, where we have a water and leadership development ministries. So water obviously meets the immediate needs of people by providing access to clean water, health and sanitation trainings, and then we equip local believers to feed into the local church. It's predominantly Muslim communities that we're working in. Our leadership development program identifies the highest caliber men and women in the region to equip them to lead in whatever position of influence they have.
So we are working in Brazil right now, the city of São Paulo, the biggest city in this country. So you can understand how big the city is. It's probably the largest on the south of the planet. It is a very interesting city, a lot of opportunities. It's a very cultural melting pot. And we are planning a church right here in the heart of São Paulo.
It's the Asian Christian Academy of India. We are located in Bangalore in South India. We started this ministry in 1976, and in 1990 we moved to Hosur, which is a town near to Bangalore, and we started the theological seminary, and then we have started a hospital, Agape Hospital. Then in 1996 we started the grade school, the Asian Christian High School, and recently we have started a church planting ministry. And then pastoral training. We also have a Bible college started in Kerala. And we are planning to start a liberal arts science and business college. You know, the foundation work is already in progress.
So my first day on the job was 2020, the first day of the stay-at-home order in Dallas. So for a ministry that is primarily running 8 to 10 in-person gatherings every single month, this was kind of a shock of, wow, what do we do now? We've been a regional ministry with 8 chapters in Texas and Oklahoma. Our goal, or the reason the board brought me on, was to take this regional ministry and to grow it to 100 chapters nationally, coast to coast, by 2025. But when I stepped in on day one, all of that hit pause.
So on March 25th, President Museveni of Uganda had called an order that the borders would be closed. So no coming in, no going out of nationals or anyone who wasn't a national. So on March 26th, the borders were closed. March 27th, there was an order that all public and private transportation were also called to a halt. So to prevent the spread of the virus, people weren't allowed to go anywhere or meet anywhere. That also meant that all schools, churches, marketplaces were closed. Everything went to a halt.
Last year, we started in a very good way. We were receiving a lot of visitors. People were getting towards us. We are having new small groups. We have discipleship groups now. And we are very excited. And January and February last year was just an amazing to see those people coming to us. But when the pandemic hits us last year, everything was changed. We didn't have a lot of history together. We are a small church living as a family, but we didn't have a lot of history together. So I was very worried what could happen when we have to leave the church in social distancing.
Okay, when the pandemic started, and there was a strict lockdown in India for about almost 2.5 months, complete lockdown. Then nobody was allowed to go, and the lockdown was announced so abruptly that the people had no time to go to their homes, which were mostly migrant laborers, were not able to go back to their homes. So they were all stranded in various places, and the companies who were employing them, they were shut down, and no salaries, no provision of food, nothing was made, no arrangement was made. So it was a very abrupt and very chaotic kind of lockdown. And so we knew that unless we step in to help, there are a lot of people who will be starving.
And so as I came into this role and really pray about, Lord, what is next for our ministry, we started seeing him opening up new doors of opportunity to delve into this virtual realm or this online realm. How could this expand our reach? And so very quickly, we decided, by really the inspiration of the Spirit, I believe, that we would go online with a series called Sheroes of the Faith. So for 13 weeks, we brought in our sheroes of the faith, pastors, ministry leaders, theologians, sharing about their sheroes in the Bible. And over those 13 weeks, we had 5,500 women from coast to coast, 20 states, 5 countries that participated in our Sheroes of the Faith. And I felt like the Lord said, it's great that you have this 5-year plan to go national by 2025. But you are national right now, national and beyond. And so this really started to open the door for us to think on a broader scale, what might the Lord be doing with our ministry?
But on March 28th, our teams were granted a pass by the local government. Our WASH services were deemed as a necessary service to provide to communities. And so our WASH team never missed a beat. So our teams were able to continue to provide access to clean water, but in a higher multitude, because people needed access to clean water ASAP to prevent coronavirus from reaching their communities. So our WASH ministry had to take a pivot in a lot of the things that we do. And so instead of doing Discovery Bible Groups, which is a gathering of over 30 people, our team started doing in-home visits with community leaders and Discovery Bible group leaders, checking on the emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being of the people that we serve. So keeping the numbers down for gatherings, but continuing to meet them where they were and check in on how they were doing. Our team adopted a radio ministry. So they took up a radio show on the most listened to radio broadcast in Uganda, and they started doing evangelism proclamations, but also apologetic style questions. So God opened a door for us to do that through radio ministry, where we had 1.5 million listeners and over 63 people called in and accepted Christ, wanting to have that hope in him that they didn't see in their communities that they were in. But God did immeasurably more, again, than we could ever think or imagine, because he's so big and so good, and because God is faithful.
And we were able to help almost 2,500 families in the neighboring areas. So we were also able to go with our ambulance and distribute this food, share them about SEA a little bit, about Jesus Christ.
We got permission to go into a couple of more villages and to do the screening for the health. They say, oh, we are from the church hospital, so they know that we are from the church. So they visit us, and that's the time we are able to share the gospel, distribute Bibles or distribute tract. When they are admitted in the hospital, our seminary students are assigned to come as chaplains, share, pray with the patient, and then follow up with, by our missionaries, pastors. The Lord did open new doors for the ministry of Asian Christian Academy.
And the experience of seeing the church being built and growing together in this desire to know God more intimately and to live more closely together as a family, it was an experience that changed my view of the church. I could see God bringing people together when we could not see each other. I saw people helping each other, like attending to their needs. People lost their job and somebody in the community helped them. Somebody was just facing a tough time with the disease, embraced them, and everything was happening when nobody was seeing each other. It was something that God was doing in this church in the midst of this social distancing. What he's doing here, I could never anticipate. There's no planning for that. There's no making it happen. And it was something so amazing to contemplate and see, wow, God is really great. He's doing great things here.
Ministry partners like Northwest Bible Church are important because they are a specific ministry partner that on an institutional level understands our ministry, understands the importance that discipleship is woven into everything that we do. Ministry partners like Northwest Bible Church are important because you are some of the few partners that pray at a corporate level, petitioning to God on behalf of the people that we serve. We literally cannot do what we do without ministry partners like Northwest Bible.
Is that pretty cool? So y'all, right now, I want to just invite all of us, in a sense, to walk through the open door God has uniquely given us as a church to be a part of having conversations about Jesus all over the world. You know, as we have been regathering, I have seen a lot of new faces. People have come up to me and said, I started going to this church during the shutdown, and now you're attending in person. So I want to make sure all of us know how to be a part of this together. If you are here today, I want you to grab this card in the pew in front of you. If you're at home, I want you to know you can access this card on our website. We call this, when you open it up, this little card right here, we call it our faith promise card. This is the way that we all say, hey, I want to be a part of seeing God's power turn obstacles into openings. I want to just encourage all of us to today say, hey, I could do something in this, whether I think it's a big or a small thing. I want you to know, just to give you an idea of the scope of this thing. Last year, your $1.8 million given by about 470 families over the course of the year, supported 50 missionary families all over the world, 21 mission organizations on 6 continents. When you look at this card, you'll notice it says, I promise to give the following amount between July 1st, 2021 and June 30th, 2022. So your givings for this starts July 1st. Now, I want everybody to hear this. I want you to know that one of the great joys of being at this church for 25 years has been sitting down with Vila, my wife, at our kitchen table and looking at each other and saying, how much are we going to give this year? To challenge each other and to say, really, that's all? Okay. And I want you to know, there's a joy of getting to be about the kingdom of business to God together with each other in a world where it seems so divided. We all have our personal interests, but that this happens because we actually come together. And here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to join in the joy of doing this today. And church, you'll notice that on the card it says, we're trying to finish this up by May 2nd. I know that when we walk out those doors, we have so many things in our minds, so many things going on. And I'm thinking we can do a big, big, big chunk of this today and Wednesday night. And if you need to hear more stories about what happened to the money, come Wednesday night. But I'm thinking we can take a big chunk of this right now today. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a minute here. You can talk if you need to talk to each other. If you need to ask a neighbor how much they think you should give. A neighbor, you tell them a lot, okay? But you go ahead and let's see what we can just get done today right now. Because you knew this was coming, right? So we're just praying right now. Holy Spirit of God, you are the key that opens up our hearts to the things of God. And we understand that our giving is a spiritual discipline to help us get our hearts locked into the things of heaven and off the things of earth. So Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would give us all direction. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So you have a minute here. There's some pens in the pew in front of you. If you use one, take it with you so people aren't worried about those. And then Peyton will lead us in just a minute. Let's go ahead and get some of these cards filled out, y'all. And you can hand these in the offering box when you leave. And also, if you're at home online, I want to encourage you, you can go online and fill that out today. Thank you.
Together. a great start to World Passion Week. Are you encouraged today? I know I am. I am motivated and encouraged today. How about you? Awesome. Well, we have so many great things happening this week. We have today, right after this service, our family mission trip. And then again on Wednesday, we have our Faith Promise celebration. And you can register for that, find out more information on our website. We cannot wait to celebrate with you all week long, World Passion Week. Have a great week. We'll see you soon. Bye.